Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
The boys on the radio.
And your front row. Not only to the game, but now to the Jug Cave.
Holy handballs, Juddy.
Fareem, welcome to the Friday Night Huddle, live from Chris Judd's house.
Juddy thinks it's just hour and a half on radio. We're not going anywhere.
For Macca's Gourmet Creations,
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, yes. You think that the AFL is making a bold move to go to China. That is nothing to what the Friday Huddle team is doing tonight. Damien Barrett, Luke Darcy, Nathan Brown, Mark Howard, and the king of the Judd Cave, who has got all sorts of stuff to get through this afternoon and this evening, Chris Judd. Firstly, Darcy, we've arrived, we've walked down here, we've been shuffled in past the children, and I was thinking it was going to be one of those setups with, you know, your mother-in-law's second-hand couch, and no, it is a very different setup to what I was expecting down here.
He hasn't disappointed our man. Let's make no mistake about this. And if North Korea decide to launch a rocket, I'm coming to the Judd Cave, and I'm getting down here because we're in a bunker, Damo. I was greeted by you outside because there is no reception. We've got a team of about seven technical staff putting this together because to get reception out here, Juddy wasn't joking, is one of the most extraordinary things. It's your five-star bunker too, Damo.
Yeah, and I reckon the invitation, he was clearly pressured in offering it, wasn't he? He didn't want to do it. He did it. And then I reckon you've probably got cold feet at some stage of today when you got that text out to all of us again. Don't go through the front door. Go straight through the garage. I don't want you in my house, is what you're trying to say. So, regrets?
That was for your sake, Purple. The only person that was going to lose out of that was you guys.
Jump on the at Triple M Footy Facebook page, because in about 3 minutes, Darce and Juddy are going to take us for a tour of this bunker. So jump on at Triple M Footy Facebook, and you'll see yourselves, and you'll see what's happening in the...
Well, just a little taste. I'm sitting here on a sort of throne, you'd have to say.
Yes.
Juddy's provided for me, and Juddy's got a matching throne, so I feel pretty happy and pretty comfortable on that. And I'm looking at a pool, yeah. So I'm looking through glass, and there is your tiled pool set up, which I've got to ask Juddy how that came about, but I love it. I love every part of it. We'll give you the full extended tour very shortly.
You're below the pool, Darce.
I'm underneath the
actually
pool.
Under the water.
I'm looking up. I'm not sure whether Nate Brown's going to jump in there in the nude shortly, because yeah. He's on his way still. That worries me. But
Darce, I was very concerned coming here this afternoon, because you don't know what to bring as a house guest to Juddy's, and I know you were dealing with this all week, Damo.
Well, the red wine component to the offering, yeah. It was in my mind the whole week without actually ever weighing it down, but I just thought if we're going to come to Juddy's house, we need to bring something pretty good.
Well, I went down to Vintage Cellars down there opposite Triple M and saw Paul, and he saw me walk in with the thongs and off the beach per usual, and I said, oh, I need a wine, and he sort of sent me over to the Coolabah cask section. I said, no. And then I said, I'm going somewhere nice, and he said, oh, well, maybe sort of the Jacobs Creek territory. And I said, no, this is not going to cut it. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Chris Judd's man cave to do a radio broadcast. Damo, he took me to an area of the cellars that I never knew existed.
And an area of your credit cards?
Well, I've just had to sell one of the children. I've come up with a 2010 Grant Burge Shadrack.
Ooh.
I don't even know what it is, but I want to know what you've gone with.
I went with something a bit older, an 05 St. Henry.
Okay, what about you, Das?
I went into the cellar. It's not quite the Judd Cave, my operation at home, and my favourite is a Penfold's bin 3/9 with a bit of age on it, but I've looked in the cellar and I'm feeling like I'm a bit light on, Howie. I'll be honest with you. I'm not even sure that's even going to get a look in at all tonight. But Nath Brown's arrived, and arrived pretty late, and I noticed...
Hey,
you come
late.
Empty hands?
It's in the bag.
Tell me you brought
something. I have got a bottle of 05 Grange in the bag.
Oh, oh,
I thought if you're going to go to the best of the best, and Juddy the man is in his slippers, he's the best of the best. You bring over the best, which is the Grange, which we'll enjoy very, very
well,
nicely.
Well, we're about to go on a tour, Darce and Juddy, at Triple M Footy Facebook page, but there is a wine cellar set to a certain temperature. To get to the bottom shelf, which is your best wine. So anything we've mentioned tonight, Juddy, going to get in there, or are we completely waiting? Are we not gone to the level required?
I think Brownie would be on the bottom shelf.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of recycling for this joint, isn't it? Really? To pay for this? A lot of recycling.
It was a passion project.
Yeah, it's true.
It is a passion project, Juddy. And let's be honest, just to set the scene a little bit, because we are in the radio medium, but if I glance around, Juddy, we're sitting around a glass sort of table, and to the left is a gym. Now, you're going pretty well when you've got the West Coast Brownlow on one wall and you've got the Carlton Brownlow on the other wall. So just a nice little reminder to us mere mortals, Juddy, that's the level you operated at. And this is how well you're going, because Howie and I noticed to the left is a glass cabinet. On that glass cabinet is an array of trophies from Carlton Best and Fairest to West Coast all-time great teams. There's a couple of Lee Matthews MVPs stuck in the corner that we can't even see. What do you have to win to get to the front of the shelf, Jody? I need to ask you that.
No, well, the Scotches have sort of taken over that bottom area, but Lee Matthews' trophies were close to my heart.
There's an All-Australian that's not even able to be seen.
Like,
that's
tough to worry about.
Just a lazy All-Australian doesn't even get a look in.
What about the best and fairest, though?
No, not even quite, let's be honest. They don't even rate a mention. Now, some artwork. Now, I'm not sure. I'm told, Juddy, the only part you had to in the design of this house, you said, over to Beck, she's going to handle this much more accurately than I will. And you said, the Judd Cave is my doing and mine only. Talk us through the piece of art on the wall there, please.
It was a postmodern masterpiece, really.
I have to listen to this man.
who is it?
Who do you think it is, Browning?
It looks like a cross between Lee Matthews and David Boone.
Well, it's better than what Howie put it.
It's funny, Howie came up and said, Juddy, have you got a portrait of Hitler on your wall here?
I thought we were into a neo-Nazi bunker.
A bit of Adolf. I didn't know.
Over to my right is a very nice, fine-looking chess set. Juddy, is that a passion of yours?
It was for a small period, Dars, but it didn't get a lot of legs.
Who do you play chess against? Look,
I started playing my old man for a little bit. Used to play against Hendo, right. The Blues.
Yes. Yeah. Was he good?
We were about the same. We were both battlers.
Not many people can front up and play chess in the environment. The Cuban cigars, Harry, caught your eye.
Yeah, like, definitely caught my eye, they did. There's some of the big, thick Cohiba style in there. We don't obviously promote smoking, Juddy, but occasionally there's a celebration worthwhile. When was the last time you got into one of those big Arnold Schwarzenegger style setups?
The last Cohiba I would have had was after the twins.
Okay.
But it's a rare occurrence. Smoke responsibly, kids.
Jesse Hogan comes over regularly.
Yeah, he does. And a white pool table, Darce, as well. Not your traditional green felt, not your blue felt, the white felt.
It's all five-star here.
It is. Anyway,
let's be honest. There's touches that only Juddy could provide. But very, very kind of you, mate. We are privileged to be here. And as we said, there's no sound coming out of this place tonight apart from our audio.
That's caused a bit of a problem because Damo came down here and he gets stressed at the best of times at this stage of footy season.
As you're starting to get to know me, yes.
And he's got no reception on his phone. You've never seen a man blow up like Damo. He's up there. We've got Telstra technicians on the line. How do I get reception?
Is there no reception in here?
No. You'll be in trouble with your
races. Put a couple of bets on.
Have you managed to get reception?
We've got that under control. We think we're on top of the world at the moment, Howie. So we'll get to some of that news at some stage of the next hour or so.
Well, there's a lot to get through. Joshy Dunkley, unfortunately injured bulldog, will join us. Dean Cox, your man. An exciting man, a good man for an interview, Juddy.
We used to be.
Right.
Very good man, close friend, but has turned into one of the world's most boring men since he became an assistant coach. So we'll see if we can wrap him up tonight.
So you can introduce him as that. A bit of news going around as well, Damo.
Yeah, we was touched on Jesse Hogan's late withdrawal from the Melbourne team to play Adelaide as well, but want to delve into McCartan and a few other things as well. And obviously the Pendlebury issue of the week where he has flown to Sydney to play for the Pies against GWS and all the commentary he generated himself to us during the week about whether he plays or not because of the impending birth.
Has anyone ever missed one, Damo, off the top of your head who's gone to the birth and not actually played a game? There's always a lot of talk with that happening.
Bradshaw missed the final, I recall, back in the early 2000s. That was one. I remember the only final Sav Rocker ever played, 2005 that would have been. He was escorted to the game by police, and they were speeding, by the way, and sirens blaring. He was at the hospital, missed the birth, and then was part of an 86-point finals loss. But, yeah, he nearly missed it, Das, but he played. So, look, the controversy wasn't it? I must say controversy. He's got every right to not play, but the fact the game's in Sydney, and at one stage he was talking about leaving the game at half-time if it got dicey, I can't imagine Nathan Buckley allowing that to happen. To start the game.
It's a tough one when you go against the women, Damo. Tough one.
But you're going against the coach too, aren't you?
I'm not sure Nathan Buckley have a choice, would he, Damo?
No.
If
he chose to play the game and then left at half-time.
You know you're out, aren't you?
Well, Pendles won't have his mobile. You're not allowed your mobile once you get to the ground. You've got to hand that in. So the lines of communication, I dare say, will be controlled by
it's hard
club
to get
officials.
It's like being in the Judd Cave. No one can get hold of you.
Did you ever get close, Juddy? Did any of yours come at close
no,
to the
No, I only had Oscar when I was still playing. And, well, Beck. But technically had him. I was involved in the early part of the
process. Technically.
I just can't remember it being a huge issue. I mean, I think the likelihood of anything actually happening in that five-hour block is pretty remote. So
Would you have played if it went down like half an hour before a game started, or you knew it was going to go down during the game, would you have played?
Oh, I couldn't see myself missing the berth, but I think it could have been worked around.
It's quite a long
process. I mean, they go into labour. It's an 8 to 10 hour process. So
I feel like you're the counterman who could work anything around. Yeah. You just make things happen.
I get the feeling you could
have worked it out. It's part of a secret society, Juddy.
Absolutely. You would be unbelievably unlucky, Howie. Let's be honest. I mean, that window of time, that Juddy's right. I mean, it's not something you really have to entertain. If you talk about odds, you're much more likely to win the lotto, I would have thought.
You would have played us?
Female being pregnant is not one to bring that up. It's not one that you go, oh, look, sweetheart, that 5 hours, you should be fine. I'll go and play and then I'll be there. They're very, very irrational at that time in their lives, I would have thought. I know mine was, and I was retired, which is probably a good thing.
I was in Sydney for the Australian Open Golf when Erica was due to have our first child, our beautiful daughter, and she rang me the first time and said, the baby's coming, and I was out on the golf course doing on-course commentary, and Scotty Pennery talking about a 3 hour turnaround. By the time you get to the airport, you get on a flight gets delayed. It took me about 6 hours to get home. Thankfully, it was a false alarm, and the baby came 10 days later. Thanks to Erica for that, but not as easy as it can be to turn around and get out
the door.
But let's be
honest, we are the most useless people in the world in that environment.
There nothing
is
no, to do,
there
is
there? Nothing you can contribute in that environment. There is no joy you can add. No. All you can do is just be stressed out of your brain.
You're a punching bag at that stage.
Our parents' generation, my dad goes, well, you blokes have lost it. I mean, seriously, you swung past, you went down the pub, you had one of Juddy's fine Cubans, and everyone was happy. We gave up too much ground on
not
that.
Not there for yours, but it does.
I was there for all four.
Yeah.
Everyone says the best day of your life.
It's please. Not. So the result is
absolutely useless, aren't you?
I felt
you get no sleep
like
yourself.
I was physically ill every single time I was in that space.
Not the best day of life, Dars.
No. No, because
in the top 10,
No, the kid's being born is a great part. Oh, the process of it is as stressful as it comes, Juddy. Watching that.
Don't bring me into this, Dars. You're digging your own grave.
No, I'm actually
How about him turning away?
That's 4-1. Best day for us. And obviously, Dars is...
I'm saying the actual outcome's great.
The result's the best thing in the world.
Driving there both times, I actually had to pull the car over and say, I think I'm going to be... And my wife Beck's going, it's not about you. I'm going, you don't understand. I'm feeling that crook about this.
Don't look to Juddy. This is a man that's saying, technically, Beck had the baby. We now go from the Judd Cave to Shanghai in China, of all places, to our international correspondent. Thank you to the Nine News and Triple M Football, Warren Treadray in China. Treaders, how's things treating you over there? How's China?
Things are going really well, considering I can't speak the native tongue, but now it's been good. The conditions have been quite interesting. In the last 24 hours alone, actually, I've watched Port Adelaide train on Jiawang Stadium, where they'll play on Sunday, Mother's Day, in 30-degree heat, very similar to a Darwin sweatbox, so to speak. And then today, the Gold Coast locked us out of training, and it's been pelting with rain. It's only just come clear late in the afternoon at 4:15 time. So it's interesting conditions, but all reports is come Sunday it's going to be about 25, 26, a little bit of cloud cover, so perfect conditions for football.
And Tritters, you suffered a cowardly attack from Luke Darcy and Nathan Brown.
Not Luke Darcy.
Let's with a fire extinguisher many years ago. Have you implemented anything over there to safeguard this from happening again?
No, well, let's just say I don't think there's fire extinguishers, and I don't think the Chinese police would deal with it like the Irish would back in the day. But I'm not sure my good mate Josh Franco's recovered from that. When it happened at the time, he actually accused me of doing it to him.
And
I said,
very
yeah,
cowardly.
As you do, you let off a fire extinguisher in your own room. But they were quite cowardly, and no one put their hand up. Robert Murphy was also involved, but it's fair to say you couldn't expect much from Bulldogs players at that time.
I'd like to clear it up, Treaders. It was Nathan Brown. I tried to hold him back. The noise you made, though, I'll never forget until the day I die, Treaders. I think Treaders thought the IRA were involved, and he made a noise that, to this day, I'm not sure I can ever understand what happened, Treaders, but I apologise on Brownie's behalf. Disgraceful performance. Hey,
all I can tell you, Darth, is it felt like this wet blanket hit you in the face and all of a sudden there was no oxygen left. So, God help Josh and I, we were jumping over each other to try and get out the door. I think it was about $2,500 it cost to clean that up, didn't it?
I think that might have been the end result of what happened, Treaders. Now, tell us, are you sold on China? Is this a good thing for the club that you love, Port Adelaide? Have they done the right thing?
Well, I think it's as good as we could have hoped for right now. And you talk about you know, people are involved. They've got some big heavy hitters. I think Gina Reinhart and the like are coming to the game. She's gone into business and obviously bought the Kidman Farm with Shanghai Cred, who's the real estate guy over here. He's the one that's obviously backed it with Port Adelaide for a certain amount with some big sponsorship money. So there's the commercial side of it. I looked at the Oval and the big concern was 12 months ago, we were converting an old driving range in an old square stadium into a supposedly state-of-the-art footy stadium. Well, let's be honest, it's not the MCG, the new Adelaide Oval, what's being built in Perth. But they've spent up to $4 million to get this game up. The Oval yesterday, the surface is as good as any at the start of the pre-season. So once the cricketers are off and you look at the Oval, it's just smick, no divots, no nothing. If anything, it might be a little bit hard, but this rain would certainly help it. But I was pleasantly surprised by the condition of the Oval, temporary stands, sold-out game, 11,000 people. But the proof's going to be in the pudding, and for Port Adelaide, they really need to win it.
Trez, I know you're objective and fearless when it comes to reporting on all matters of AFL, but you're still tapped in very much with the Port Adelaide team. What did they make of Rodney Eade's comments on Triple M last weekend, where he basically put inside his own players' heads the excuse possibilities that range from the flight in economy to the humidity and even the asthma aspect of this game?
Well, to be honest, I don't think the players... Yeah, they hear it and they move on. And from my perspective, you know, I was coming here too as a person, obviously, post-football commentator, news, the whole thing. And you go, what are these conditions? We're hearing dust storm. I haven't seen anything like that. Smog, yes, there's been a bit of smog. When we flew into Hong Kong, which is a fair way from here, 2.5 hours by flight, it was down to 1,000 metres visibility. Well, I can't criticise. Yes, there's smog. There's a lot of people. There's more people in this city than the entire Australian continent. So there's 24 million people live in this city. It's not easy to get around. But the conditions-wise, you can't criticise. Yep, Port Adelaide obviously did a deal with Cathay Pacific, so they've got premium economy for their players. It's a 10-hour flight. If you want some perspective, being an Adelaide boy, Adelaide United's been in the Asian Champions League, and they've done 10 flights in economy over the past 18 months, 2 years. So we're talking about one flight return. The teams both get a game off next week. I think it's a little bit of games and a little bits and pieces. But, you know, there is a little bit of smog here, but... Yeah, you don't notice it. You might see it when you're up in some of the sky rises, but I don't think there's any excuse whatsoever. And you look at both the players' groups, they're excited to play, and really I just think that's for more media call and media speculation more than anything.
And with both teams having a game off next week, are they hanging around at all and taking a couple of days, or are they on the kite the next day and coming straight home?
Now, there's some players, Juddy, that are going to stay over. I know some of the players from both teams have got family, so... I've seen Paddy Ryder and his wife and little child were over here at the moment. So there's a few bits and pieces. Some players, I know, Port Adelaide are going to have about 4 or 5 days off afterwards before they get back in preparation for their next match. So some players will head off to Hong Kong, and even Rodney Eade mentioned the same thing from some of his players. So there's no doubt the recovery is the biggest thing post-game, and both clubs have been pretty smart to say, well, you've got a week off. It's effectively both the Gold Coast and Port Adelaide split round that they would have in about 3 or 4 weeks' time. So they'll be able to get away, rest up, and I don't see any excuses why you can't pull up and play in just under probably 2 weeks' time.
Good on you, Treaders. Don't bring any headphones back in your luggage to Adelaide and you should be okay.
Yeah, I won't be taking that advice anyway.
Yeah, Treaders really rolling
on you,
out
mate.
The
cheers, Treaders.
Thanks, boys.
Treaders really rolling out the funny stuff there in China. Now, Nath.
He doesn't have a funny bone in his body.
Now, listen, I know you two don't get on well.
Well,
just because you don't get on well, I think it's a bit cheeky not to ask him a question.
Well, ever since that incident in Ireland, he sooked up a little bit and he sullied my name a couple of times. So, Treaders, I don't talk to him.
No.
And it's your fault. It is your fault,
mate.
You handed a fire extinguisher, which I just thought was water, but it had foam.
There's a bit of Jared Healy about it, wasn't there?
Almost killed
it. Handed the loaded gun.
Killed the poor man.
Far from that. And fair to say, Treaders hasn't moved on all those years later.
It hasn't.
It's still a raw. As Treaders was sort of waffling on a bit there, I picked up a book in the Jet Cave.
What are you reading? What's it entitled?
It is called The Monocle Guide to Better Living.
And
just a bit of coffee table action. It's an idea for CEOs who want to improve their service offer, a textbook for teachers, lobbying for better design in classroom. Above all, It's about a higher standard of living. Challenge your game. And that's what's happened tonight. I've come to Judd Cave and I want to live
better. You need to
live. I want to live a lot better than I'm currently living.
In reality, people come down and they can be stuck here for weeks, Star. So I've got to give them some
reading material.
Some options to read, some sustenance.
At Triple M Footy, we're going to go live for Judge Juddy in the next segment, but on the Triple M Footy Facebook page. But Damo, we're getting a lot of information and stuff through Triple M Footy social media about the Judd Cave where we are at the moment. What have you got?
And what we often love about the Triple M family is they go very wide and far and quite obscurely sometimes. Mm. Intrigued, Brownie, by the chair you're sitting in. We're all in leather ones.
This,
one. And,
this looks like a Barley. This looks like a Barley number.
Chris Arnott wonders what kind of man cave has a rug. But Matty Nolan, everyone looks really nice and comfy except Brownie.
Yeah.
Brad Cook, what is Brownie sitting on? A deck chair? Can't you get him a couch, Juddy?
Until we see the 05 Grange, people. He's stuck on there.
We still haven't seen it.
The 05 Grange is there. Don't you worry about that. We will be drinking that.
And Deb Cannon, who's a long-standing member of the Triple M family. Very impressed, Juddy, with the setup here.
Now, we are having fun down here in the
Judd
Cave.
We may never leave.
No, I don't think we're going to leave. Certainly not till later on this evening. But the serious side of footy, there's a bit going on, Damo. I guess the main story floating around today is probably involved the Demons and Jesse Hogan.
Yeah, missing the game against Adelaide tomorrow. And I checked with the club today. It is illness. They're not telling us what it actually is. And that's their right to keep that in-house. But won't be playing. It obviously comes 1 week after he returned, after having missed the previous week with the passing of his father. So it's been a very interrupted season for Jesse Hogan. But the club today adamant that it is illness and not related to the other reasons he missed. The other big name players that are doing the rounds today too, Howie, is Paddy McCartan, who hasn't been able to get back into the St Kilda team. He's for the second or third consecutive week now in the VFL. Kicked 7 2 weeks ago, was okay last week, escaped a tribunal charge. But Alan Richardson today, when he had his press conference, has no issue with Paddy McCartan still being in the twos.
Look, he just needs to keep playing well, Paddy. You know, he's had a reasonable month of footy at the level below, but that's coincided with the AFL team doing pretty well and players in his position playing their role.
Are you wary of other clubs talking to him while he's playing in the reserves?
All we can control is the way we deal with Paddy, and all we can do with any player in that situation is make sure they understand where they sit and what they need to do.
That was Alan Richardson talking about Paddy McCartan. It's a nice position to be in. They've got some big forwards up there that are going well with Membry and Bruce and McCartan. He can't quite squeeze in there at the moment.
Yeah, but other clubs are watching what's happening, and he's not going to say this, but he isn't happy.
There was a discussion last week about the entertainment here, Judge, that we were hoping to get your mum to sing live in the Judd Cave after she recorded a song that was going to be potentially played at the grand final in the mid-2000s. A lot of talk about this song during the week, so I think for all the music lovers out there, Darce.
Well, we've been inundated with requests to have one more listen on the back of Judge Juddy's performance tonight.
Yes. I think Nate likes it. This is,
I think by popular demand, you'd have to play it, Howie, wouldn't you?
This is Lisa Engel, a.k.a. Juddy's mum, for those that missed it last week, with a written original composition.
They're playing football and the crowd falls spinning. They're playing football and my memory stays the same. Playing football and the crowd falls spinning. They're playing football and my memory stays the same.
One of the great ballads, one of the great rock ballads. Have you spoke to your mum this week after it got enormous play last week on Triple M?
It hasn't come up, to be honest. I'm not sure if she's just pretending it didn't happen or how it's come about, but I actually had lunch with her yesterday. We had a lovely lunch down there in Chapel Street, but yet to broach the topic, Harry.
Has she thought about the voice at all?
Yeah, I think you may have mentioned that last week, Brownie. Yeah, you're quite persistent with that question.
I think, as I say,
it hasn't been broached this week, so there's no update.
They're playing football and the crowd falls dead. They're playing football. That is the beautiful. My memory stays the same.
That is the beautiful Lisa Engel, Chris Judd's mum, in the background with that smash hit that is blowing up the airwaves at the moment. Lisa's been on the text for you, Juddy. What's she come through with your mum?
She's texted through. What about my royalties? I haven't had a brass razoo from your mob. So thinking commercially, we like that.
All right, great to hear from Lisa out there. We're going to get to Josh Dunkley shortly from the Western Bulldogs. Unfortunately, he's out injured at the moment. Damo, just before we get to that, a little bit of news floating around out of Brisbane. and out of Collingwood as well. Shacky is a name that's on everyone's lips at the moment.
Shacky's becoming an issue for the Lions, Howie. He is, as we know, a second-year player, played the 22 games. Out of contract, and there is a concern now of a serious nature from within the Lions that the fact he's waited to this point before he has a proper conversation via his management with the club that something's going on. So within the next 4 to 5 weeks, we'll get some greater clarity on it, but other clubs are very interested, Richmond specifically, Collingwood also. And what emerged during the week was that his management is now trying to create even more competitive tension than there already is and has grown organically. They are telling clubs that 5 years is what they're going to need to offer at about $700,000 a year if they want to get themselves involved in the conversation at the pointy end of it. So a fair bit to play out. The Lions haven't given up by any stretch, but they do remain concerned as to what's happened.
That's an amazing situation for me, Damo, where that is the new state of play. Hasn't been a number one draft pick? A number one draft pick, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And a talented player yet to...
Or number two. I think Wiedering went one, didn't he? And then Shacky two.
And yet to really show his wares, which is understandable for a young key forward. But the cachet now is so strong that even with no real runs on the board, you're essentially able to ask that sort of money and get it. Is that a changing of the guard, Juddy, or has that happened before?
Oh, I think this is evolving, and I think that's pretty unique. I think what's a bit strange about it is that you either want to go or you want to stay, but if you're staying for 5 years. So it's sort of, it appears very much a commercial decision. Usually players, after a couple of years, they might want to go back home, hence why they take the longer deal. But to have 5 years either to stay or to go, that's a bit strange.
It may be a less. If he chooses to stay, I can't imagine him doing it for the 5 years. The way it's unfolding, and the management's got every right to, in their minds, to go and test the market so they can present to Josh himself the full scenario. But it's unusual practice for it to be done that way. And as I said, the Lions are now genuinely concerned.
And if you sign a big contract before you're ready, the pressure that can go onto a young player is such that it's not always in the player's best interest. So, yep, you've always got the right to get the best deal you can. But sometimes I think you're better off really cementing yourself in the AFL before you go chasing a
big deal. A shack cave, though. Tell you what, with that sort of money.
You can't roll that serious football comment while you're wearing a gold mask and a blue jacket that's rearing uncomfortably up your thigh at the moment.
Howie, I've got the worst view of this at the moment too, and I am fearful there is nothing underneath.
What you've got wrong is our man can do what he likes. And that is the only lesson I've learned in the first 7 rounds. No rules apply to the judge. He rolls the way he wants to roll.
He certainly does. The West Coast taking on the Western Bulldogs tonight over in WA. Unfortunately, the young Bulldog, Josh Dunkley, won't be there. He is out injured. He joins us on the line now. We appreciate his time. G'day, Josh. Nice to speak to you.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Firstly, mate, what's going on? A nasty issue revolving around your shoulder. Can you give us an update? What do they need to do? What's wrong? And when do you hope to play footy again?
Yeah, it was obviously a little dislocation on Saturday night last week, which wasn't too nice, and from there I've sort of been in for surgery on Tuesday, and now I'm just back home sort of resting up and taking it easy.
Josh, you're going comfortably in a win-loss scenario, but you've been behind 6 times out of the 7 games at quarter time, I think 4 or 5 times at half time. It's got to be concerning to Luke Beveridge that you're getting, but you're still winning, but you haven't played some real quality opposition yet apart from probably GWS.
Yeah, I think so. It's always tough being the reigning premier, and teams are sort of getting a gauge on where they're at based on how they go against us. So each week we're copying their best play, and we're still looking to build ourselves. So I'm sure like tonight and in the future we'll pick up our game and play some better footy going forward.
Hey Josh, congratulations winning a premiership in your first year, and you've just taken to the game as smoothly as anyone in recent times. Talk us through the conversation last week. Luke Beveridge sits you down and says, hey Josh, you're going to play in the ruck, you're going to take the centre bounces. Talk us through that conversation.
Yeah, it was. It actually happened the week before, when Tom Campbell didn't get up for that GWS game. Bevo's like, Dunks, you've grown a couple of inches now. So I had to go in the ruck. And yeah, I think for me, it was just to play my role for the team. And, we go out there every week knowing our roles. And that just happened to be that was mine. And so I went out there and tried to compete as hard as I could. And myself, along with Min Jong and Tommy Boyd, fought the ruck last week against Richmond.
Just on that, the commentary around what Luke Beveridge is asking the Bulldogs players to do, Josh, is to have at least 2 positions they can play. Does that become the third one for you, or is that one of your 2?
Yeah, I think that'd be a third one. Obviously a midfield forward sort of type of player, and played a little bit down back last year in the VFL. So I think that's probably one of our best strengths, is that we can all play a variety of different roles for the team. So if required at AFL level, we'll get the opportunity, which is good.
Do you see yourself doing it when you come back?
Hopefully. I guess there's any way to break into the team would be nice for me. So I'll just look at my recovery now and take step by step, and hopefully be back come the end of the year.
There's no more impressive-looking man than Jack Redpath when he's on the move. Hasn't played a lot of footy yet, but back in, he kicked 6 in the twos last week. I mean, he could tear it apart at the Domain Stadium tonight.
Yeah, he could. Red's a star. The way he's approached his rehab and got back, I think he did it in round 13 or something last year, and he's already back playing footy, so, and good footy as well. So it's a credit to him, and we're all excited to see what he can do tonight down at Domain Stadium.
Yeah, looking forward to a West Coast take on the Western Bulldogs. Hopefully you're up and about sooner rather than later. Josh, I said, heard you say you're at home taking it easy. If you're not doing anything and you're in the Brighton area, maybe you want to slide down and join us in the Judd Cave for the game, because there's some nice wines here. I think you'd enjoy it down here, Josh.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm in a bit of pain at the moment, so I might stick to staying on the couch, I reckon.
No, we could ease your pain here, Josh. No problems. We can take care of that. Hey, if we didn't quite get from you, when do you think you'll be back? You going to play this year, Josh?
Yeah, I think I will play again this year, which is good. The surgery, I think, is around 12-week recovery. So hopefully I'm back out there later on in the year and crack back into the side. It'd be nice. But, yeah, as I said before, I'll just take it week by week, day by day, and hopefully be back sooner rather than later.
Great stuff, Josh. Thanks for your time tonight, Josh Dunkley, one of the young stars of the Bulldogs. Got a long time on the sidelines with a shoulder, Howie, but he's a very impressive young man.
Good kid, isn't he?
He's a beauty. Yeah.
Let's hope he's back in action. Social media blown up like we've never seen it before at Triple M Footy. People are enjoying the broadcast from the Judd Cave. I think there's a queue out the door now trying to get in. Domo, what are you getting?
Yeah, is it a few audio issues apparently with the Facebook, and that's just the streaming issues, but they're blaming...
No, that's the bunker issue. The
bunker. We designed it like that, Purple.
No, it's actually, according to Craig Wilson, Malcolm Turnbull's problem with the stuff up of the NBN rollout, so they're blaming that. Stu Alexander, Howie, has a suggestion that Juddy's mum could actually sing Brownie's book.
I like it.
Ben Hammond feels that the cave's got to feel Pulp Fiction style dust. So
yeah,
when does the gimp come out?
I think he's already here.
Yeah, he might be. Patala Avanosa, 3 votes for Juddy's get up. And Stuart Alexander suggests Juddy to cover up the things that I can see way too much of at the moment. The little Judds.
So. Tea bags.
You're getting a bit of advice about the wine we brought, which we'll discuss later on the show.
I've got
as well,
a critique as to who's
gone real top drawer stuff. Mark Howard with you, Luke Darcy, Damien Barrett, Chris Judd and Nathan Brown in the Judd Cave. Jump on at Triple M Footy Facebook. You can see videos of exactly what's occurring down here. We're sit on some nice leather couches. Darcy's got his arm around
the Arctic
Fox.
Is this a Chesterfield-style couch? Is that how you describe this?
What is it, Juddy?
It's your basic Chesterfield.
You've got your hand over the Arctic Fox that isn't lived.
There's nothing basic about anything in the Judd Cave. It's all top shelf stuff. We're ready for the pressure test. And last week, we had Luke Hodge do the pressure test. I think he might have sworn halfway through the pressure test.
He did.
So much so, the competitive instincts kicked in. He rolled our punter, first winner from the huddle point of view. So, Brownie, I've got great faith in Brownie. You're out, mate.
Yeah, you're out in a moment. We'll get to Dean Cox shortly, but give us a call, 133-53, to give yourself a crack. Before we get to the pressure test quiz, we're about to cross to the West to speak to Dean Cox. But just before we do that, Damien, there's an unbelievable story out of Geelong this week involving an Irishman who has played how many games of football?
4 games in his life of basically VFL footy, taken as an international rookie. Mark O'Connor is his name, and he's been brought into this team, and even the Geelong diehards, when his name was released last night as an inclusion, had no real idea as to who he was.
That's an extraordinary story, Juddy. He's going to play league football tomorrow after 4 games.
It's hard to believe in. It almost makes a mockery of all the Aussie kids that it takes 20 years to get there. But do you think they're pushing him out there too soon, does?
Maybe, Juddy. The Irish boys amaze me. They come out and they are the most resilient. They're not impressive-looking athletes. And you think... You know what? Good luck. You know, and then they're hard, they're resilient, and they find a way. I'm amazed by
how
they
kick it well.
Yeah. They kick the ball well. So this doesn't surprise me. Someone that is able to do it. Whether or not it's a success is yet to be seen. Do you remember our man Bernie Collins?
Bernie Collins.
We're going to get to the Bulldogs.
38 degree day.
He arrived in Melbourne, Juddy, and they're just the best blokes of all time. And he's gone, this is brilliant. I'll go home to Ireland and I'll have a
a suntan. It would be fantastic. So he, on his first day in Melbourne,
it was Indian, 38, wasn't
it? to be sure, he laid down on our Tona Beach demo and he did an hour on the front, he did an hour on the back, and he ended up in hospital with third-degree burns, literally all
bubbles.
Over his butt. I've never seen anyone in more pain in my life, Howie.
How many games did he play?
Didn't play any, Bernie, but he entertained us for 3 years as much as anyone's ever played with.
Let's get to Domain Stadium now to a lady who would love, she would thrive in the Judd Cave, Tanya Armstrong. G'day, Tan.
How are you going? With me is West Coast Eagles assistant Dean Coxon. Coxie, I must say, you're normally very laid back, but now you're pacing, you're looking a bit nervous. It's a massive game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I really excited about to see what the boys deliver and excited to see the contest is about to unfold.
Now, Coxie, thanks for coming on air for us.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
Now, when we played together, I always used to view you as a pretty charismatic sort of a guy, and it does really appear that since you became an assistant coach, you've become one of the world's most boring men. Do you feel like your voice has sort of changed since you've taken up a role as an assistant coach?
No, not at all, I suppose. And unusual for you to be in the cave. I haven't taken too many people down there. And if you want, open up the cupboards and get into the pure single malt. But at the minute, how's the pool table going as well? Your record on that's not too good.
The A-graders get down here, Dean. Let's not talk about the pool. Let's just take it back, if we can, just to our trip to Czechoslovakia, which you and I went on. And one night we got wind that Matty Primus had retired.
Yeah.
It was about 4 o'clock in the morning local time. We decided to give Matty Primus a call. Didn't get through, but left a message on his voicemail. Do you remember what your message was to the great Port Adelaide Ruckman?
No, I can't really remember. At that time of the morning, I wasn't in the best shape, but I don't think you were either. But you loud-mouthing and saying, oh, I've got Matty Primus's number in my phone. I'll give it a ring, and you're only in your second year of AFL. So you're bragging about how good you were in the international rules. And from there, I think I was just wrapped. I didn't have to play him again. Otherwise, he was ripping my shoulder out of my sockets every time I played.
Fair to say it would have been a special moment for Matty to get a phone call from two pissed 20-year-olds in Czechoslovakia.
Did you never get a reply, Jody? Did you ever hear back from the big mattress?
I don't think we heard back from the mattress, but I'm sure it meant a lot to him.
Clearly, Coxie, we don't really want to talk about football tonight. We want to talk about Jody. Now, take us behind the scenes of him at West Coast, because he's come down tonight in a dressing gown with no undies on and there's plums swinging around everywhere and a gimp mask. Is this the sort of stuff that he portrayed out at the West Coast Eagles?
Yeah, I'm surprised there's not some things that you're going to get strapped to at the end of the thing in that man cave, but it's one of his favourite pastimes. But now, from there, I suppose he's been a little bit different. And finally, now he's starting to loosen up. He talks about how I've gone the other way. When he was at footy and in Perth, he was the most boringest individual I've ever met. We had to get curried alive and things up. And then now, all of a sudden, now he's all got humour and he's out of his skin every time. So,
hey, Coxie, not only has he loosened up, now he's just loose. Now he's just generally, we've got concerns about your mate. Can we put him back in the bottle or not?
Yeah, get him straight back in there.
Hey, yeah. What about tonight's game? Just to straighten up things for a moment, what do you make of the commentary that does generally come from this side of the country? That we don't know how good your team is.
I suppose our form this year has been a little bit inconsistent throughout games, and then away from home, we've had against Richmond, we weren't too bad, just couldn't get it done in the last half, and then Hawthorn, we were terrible. We won't shy away from that, and I suppose last week was really good too. The boys rallied on to take on a really good side in Port Adelaide away from home. So, for us, it's about we've beaten North away, we've beaten Port, but we've got to try and match it against the reigning premiers tonight, even though it's at home.
Now, Coxie, last year in that final when the Dogs came over and did a job on West Coast, it really struck me how they refused to kick the ball long down the line.
Yep.
They really forced your defenders to defend one-on-one. Do you guys prepare for that and potentially set up a little bit differently to how you do every week, or do you assume you'll be able to put enough pressure on their mids to kick the ball long down the line?
Yeah, I think last year in that final, we couldn't put any pressure, as you just mentioned. And the ability to, once you do put pressure, they do bomb away and kick it into our backs that are really good intercept markers. So our ability now is to try and, I think what they do is when they go inside 50, not only from centre back to centre forward, they pull their kicks and try and play to advantage to their forwards that run onto the footy. So our backs are aware of that, but we've got to make sure that we've got pressure up the ground.
Now, Coxie, the ruck coach, amongst other things, at the West Coast Eagles, you're coaching against a team that had Lin Jong Josh Duncan takes out of bounces. You would have been insulted by that.
So
you would have just
so
said,
would you have Darcy as well.
Absolutely. Have you prepared for that scenario?
Yeah, I think they've been using Dunkley, obviously, and then John come in there and did 10 contests or something throughout the game. But, yeah, whether they do that, they've got Redpath, they've got Cordy, so they've got a number of options that can fill in for Boyd when he's not there. So, yeah, the Rucks are well aware of that, and, we've just got to try when they're in there, try and get some dominance.
Thanks, Coxie. Best of luck to you and the West Coast Eagles tonight.
Thanks very much. Good reading the questions, Juddy. Well done.
See you, mate.
Someone
well
else.
Done.
From the man who brought you.
World, according to the cool breeze.
Comes another classic book about a footballer.
Well, I didn't think it'd get this far.
This.
It's just a mum's love.
Is My Son the Footballer.
All right, Damo. Only about 50 minutes till game time, so we're going nicely from the Judd Cave, but I know you've been excited about all this week, as Nath has been, as we review his mum's tome on Nathan.
Well, it's supposedly written by Michelle Brown,
a long
beautiful
time ago.
Mum, but every time I delve into the book to prepare for these Friday nights, it's clearly a quasi-autobiography, Juddy, because it's written in the first person. I'm up to about page 87, and I haven't seen anything from Michelle Brown. And look, for those people who haven't caught up with this, we started this a couple of weeks ago. We started with Brownie's 8-point plan for young footballers entering the AFL and, you know, don't punt, and he's taken up that one himself, hasn't he? But anyway, we move on tonight.
Damo, this is a big revelation, got to say, because he's distanced himself from this. He said, Mum went down a path. I had no influence over it.
Yeah.
To know that his own words are in this book
is
a big, big call.
Now, as I said, I'm up to page
extracts of papers and stuff.
85. And before I actually start to read the word-for-word offerings here from Nathan Brown in Brownie, My Son, the Footballer, there's a bit of whimsical reminiscing about how tough Brownie's first pre-season was, and then he wades into this territory. The first pre-season for a player is the most difficult. Moving away from home, learning new schedules, new rules, it's a lot for a young person to handle. Then they face the daunting task of shower time.
Oh, no.
Make it stop.
At Punt Road, we have 10 open showers, 5 on each side facing one another. Wearing your underwear in the shower is a big mistake because footballers are interested in how they stack up in the shower and how they compare to their mates. And a quick glance up and down is very common in those showers.
Oh.
Kids these days must take some great vitamins. Or they must be making sure their food is healthier because they all come down packing a punch in the pants department.
This
Brownie,
can't be true.
Ready, these are your words in your book.
It can't be
your
true.
Your mum hasn't written this, Nate. No.
There's bits that she's taken of articles I've written.
No, oh, this is impressed. Your offering, Brownie.
Mate, now I can add to this because this is extraordinary from you, Nate Brown, as we get rid of the background music. And we just delve in a little more deeply with Nate. We could drop
like the music. Good.
Light the undercurrent there because, mate, you changed the whole landscape of the Bulldogs Football Club when you arrived on a whole number of levels. Because you remember this. The fact that you're giving advice to the next generation. Juddy, Brownie was the first footballer that I ever came across to wear his jocks and shout.
You can't do that.
Well, that's what I thought.
I did it once.
No, mate. You did not. You did it for the first 4 years.
I did not. That is a lie.
And you
that
know
is
what?
A lie.
You wonder what's behind there, Jody, don't you? That is the obvious question. Fair to say that Link's not a great strong point for Brownie. He's had Link issues.
Oh, Johnny Holmes himself over there, isn't he?
And it looked bigger than a small man, Brownie. Don't tackle Darcy.
So we felt...
It works, Chris. I've got 4 kids.
We felt for you, Brownie, but that was obviously something that was a big issue for you when you first arrived.
And
he's like Troy Luff like at the SCG when Luffy attacked him off the long run. Yeah.
Jody, you've getting involved in this conversation in a pretty positive way.
We know it's not an issue for you, Jody.
You don't seem to have an issue because
we saw that before.
Well, and the reason we know this, Jody, is because your beautiful wife Rebecca goes on a Kiss FM radio platform with Yumi Steins and is happy to talk about all manner of topics, including this one.
A couple of years ago, he said, when Billy was in my tummy, how did Billy get in there? And I just said, it's just magic. Magic how? And I said, look, it's actually magic kisses and cuddles between a mum and a dad. And then he goes, okay, I get it. I've worked it out. So daddy puts the baby in your tummy with magic kisses and cuddles and he has a magic wand, right?
Oh, my God.
Yes, darling, daddy has a very big magic wand.
Well, God gives you lemons, you make lemonade.
That's just showing off, Jody, I would have thought.
No, the beautiful thing about being in a monogamous relationship is you can talk up your own appendage as much as you like. No one's ever going to find that you're lying,
It is an amazing thing, Harry, and I know you've played a lot of footy at the Two Blues at Paran. You've had some issues down there. We'll delve
into cultural issues down there.
At some stage. At some stage we will go.
Actually, we might need to.
On another night, we'll come back to a massive incident that actually changed the landscape of football.
How football could stop.
But I could, you go through your whole era, and you could, because you spend your whole time, Damo, in the nude, apart from Brownie. And so you get an idea, whether you like it or not, of who's...
The biggest and the smallest?
You do.
It builds trust, doesn't it, Daz?
I think it does, Jody.
I think it's changed, hasn't it, Daz? I think there's a lot of Brownie
He's lying. He's exaggerating the fact that all undies.
But is that happening more often now in the next generation? Jody, you're the most recently retired player.
Well, I think they're wearing a small wetsuit now, since Brownie introduced it. But certainly, when I started out, it was a way of building trust.
Trendy.
You know, you weren't hiding
anything.
I did
not introduce this.
So that's part of the landscape now.
I think it's club by club issue. I know Brisbane were a big undies on club. Carlton was nude and celebrated it. I think the Gold Coast had a few under issues.
Did they?
Yeah, allegedly. So,
see, word filters back.
Courses for courses. But you do filter out, particularly the big-name players that go with that look. You hear about it.
Yeah, I started with Danny Delray. He wasn't putting undies on, Danny.
There's no need to.
Not required for Danny.
Mark Waugh played over 100 test matches for his country. Never showered nude.
Is that right?
Not in 100-plus test matches.
Now, you work with, you always name-drop Punter Ponting being a great mate.
Kate Williams.
All your great mates.
Peterson.
They love me.
You KT.
Me on the Big Bash and Howie and his new friends. Do they find that strange?
They bring it up 15 times a day.
There you go.
There you go. So it goes to all sports.
Now, I think next week when we get into the storytelling around Brownie, my son, the footballer, Darcy, it will actually be the words of Michelle Brown. But as I said, I'm a quarter of the way through it. And there's not one word yet from Michelle Brown.
Can we? How many weeks can we get out of this, Damo? Is this a season-long project?
We're yet to actually fully analyse the quality components of what we're trying to bring to the table, but we feel we're quite happy with the first three offerings we
please
have.
Please keep it coming.
Well, Nath, let's move on. Nath, you can prove everyone wrong, because as we sit here in the Judd Cave, we look over a Nirvana-style pool.
A bit of Nirvana, never mind.
In the next segment, you could prove us all wrong by taking a little dip in there, Nath. Have you got your swimmers?
No, I won't be doing that.
Maybe a bit of a nude-style operation, Nath, live on Facebook.
I didn't have Brownie in mind when I saw the pool.
The Friday Huddle has been a massive success from the Judd Cave. I think we need to do this three or four times a year, Juddy.
It works.
Yeah, it does work, Damo. Getting a lot of feedback on social media.
Yes, they're enjoying the intimate views here of the Judd Cave. Ash Casey should have sent Nath over to the world's Masters Games for a post-game shower just to build some confidence amongst the...
see what you've started here.
Your sharing techniques, Nath, have...
We
call it the way we see it here on
the trip. You've embellished.
Messages coming through saying that we've been behind the scenes at the Judd Cave. Maybe we take it to Damo's house next and just
get
a bit of a behind-the-scenes feel. Well, I wouldn't expect
the
Judd Cave.
The house isn't as big as the cave.
I'd like to go behind the scenes at Damo headquarters at some stage. Maybe down to your part of the world, Howie?
Yeah, well, Geelong Friday, next Friday night. You're welcome down at Bowen Heads. I'm the only bloke in Melbourne media happy when there's a home game at Geelong. This man, he would revel. He would absolutely love the Judd Cave. Unfortunately, he's in the West in the moment, but I can see him here in a smoking jacket just chatting. Or revel. Revel. It's spelled the same way, isn't it? Yeah. Revel's probably the best way of going with it. I appreciate that, David. Dennis Committee is on the line. Den, a treat to chat with you. I just wish you were beside me because you would revel in this atmosphere in the Judd Cave.
I don't think so. I've been listening. the Judd Cave. It's all he could talk about in the old days. That and I'm never going into radio.
Hasn't he changed, though, Den? That you called a lot of his fine performances. He's really come out of his shell, hasn't he, Juddy?
He's dived in, hasn't he? Amazing.
You can't eat dignity, Dennis. That's what I worked out.
Oh, yes. Those bankers got you, I can tell. One day, I knew it was in trouble. One day we were having a cup of tea, remember?
That's right.
And you looked at your watch and said, I had to get back to work. Or you had to get back to work, more particularly. I'd never heard that from you before.
No, it didn't last long, but I experimented with it. I gave it a chance and... worked out there was a better way to go about things, Dennis.
he's joined the dark side with us, the great commit. Hey, it was great to catch up with you in Perth a week or two ago and meet your son, Mark, who is an amazingly powerful operator, Dennis, and his career in wrestling. And I believe he's alongside you in the commentary. Is that correct tonight, doing the stats?
Yes, he is, alongside me. Do you want him to get a speaking part or not?
I think we need to speak to the outbacks. Well, I'm fascinated because I know they're pretty tight, the commentary boxes over at Subiaco, and with Mark present, there's not a lot of space for anyone else over there, commit.
Okay, well, I'll introduce him. Here he is. You're on.
Powie, how are you, mate? We haven't spoken for a little time.
No, we spoke last year on Dead Set Legends, Big Fella.
We did.
How are you going? You've got yourself into the Triple M commentary box. You're only probably one seat away from calling. How are you finding being the statistician to your dad calling?
Oh, it's good. It's something different for sure. They've managed to make some room for me and squeeze me in the boys, so that's always good. But it's probably more strange for Dad than myself. Because I've never been in this situation, clearly. Him, though, to be looking to his right and seeing me in the box must be a slight adjustment.
You're not exactly Bruce.
That's what I was about to say. There's a bit of a discrepancy in size between me and Bruce.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's confusing.
And
I can see him looking, you know.
Style as well, and behaviour, everything.
Yeah, all of the above, temperament, everything.
And Mark, you went to school with Andrew Embley.
I did.
What could you tell us about Andrew Embley at school? Was he a scholar or...? You know, what sort of place was he?
Well, one of our close friends, Dennis Nicholas, always said to me, it's good that Embles could play footy. I took that as he wasn't much of a scholar. He was a couple of years older than me, so I can't quote exactly. I wasn't in the classroom with him. But that's all I heard from the boys was that it was good he could play footy. So I didn't know how to take that other than maybe he wasn't too studious and put a bit more time into the game. But that, it turned out well for him. And he was always a good kid. He still is.
I think Mark was definitely onto something.
Now, Mark, just before...
Well, it's confirmed. Confirmed, Juddy. Confirmed.
Before we let you go, Mark, in a former life, you were the Outback Silverback, one of the great wrestling sensations of the United States of America. Weighing in at what? At your peak, what were you weighing in at?
I'm still 150, mate. 150.
Right, so you're 150. So I know the media setup. Have they had to cater in extra food for you, or how do you go about it? Because by half-time, you'd be ready to go.
I bring my own, normally about half a cow, a couple of chickens. I just bring them in myself, mate, and go with that.
Can I say I've heard all of this before? Get on with it. Come on. I have to feed the man.
How much have I heard of you before? Yeah, see? Doesn't like it the other way around, boys. Doesn't like it the other way around.
We appreciate
it. I hear the same story at dinner every time.
I'm wanting to give up, but what do you do? You can't hit him.
Good luck on the stats tonight, Mark. Now, back to you, Dennis.
Thanks,
retirement. For a man that's retired, you're calling an awful lot of footy.
I am, and enjoying it too. It's good on the radio. I mean, listening to your radio before, it can be dangerous radio. Ours isn't on the edge like yours. I mean, I recognise, I can smell out dangerous radio. And believe me, boys, I can get the odour all the way from the Batcave. Be careful.
And you started doing some stuff for the Waffle there earlier on in the year, Dennis. How did that pan out? And is that still an ambition of yours to do for the rest of the year?
This is only going to Victoria, isn't it? Biggest mistake I ever made. two things, because normally I was commentating, so the time went quickly. And now you look at your watch, you think, must be close to full time. We're deep into the second quarter. It's a good comp.
The committee says that we're close to the line. Yep. That says to me we need to straighten up our act a little bit.
Yes.
Hey, Dan, as always, been brilliant to chat to you. Great to chat to Mark, who's a great story to see the father-son combination over there.
Good on
and
you, fellas.
And look forward to this game tonight, Dan. Great stuff.
Just remember, Das, you're the headmaster in all of this.
I expect something from you. Fair enough.
See you, guys.
Dennis Cometti will be calling the game in not too long at all now. In about 30 minutes' time, I think the game is set for a start. Before we get too far into this game, we need to get everyone's tips because the leaderboard at this stage, Das 2, Juddy 1, Hodgy 1, Brownie 1. So, Damo, you got all snaky last week
when you realised you need to be nearest the pin.
So, just round the room quickly. It's a massive game over in the West. The West Coast Eagle take on the Western Bulldogs. First to you. You're the only one to pick the Saints last week, Das.
I think I might have been the only one to pick the Saints, and I'm going to tip the Bulldogs in another upset tonight against the odds. They're going to win by 5 points tonight, the Dogs. Do it again.
West Coast by 17, Helen.
West Coast by 10 for me.
Yeah, West Coast by 21.
I think the Bulldogs in an upset by 5 points. Massive game coming our way tonight.
Would be with the margin that I tipped Howie 5 points.
Oh, did you tick the Bulldog by 5 points? 6 points. 6 points then.
Get on the clubhouse leader, Howie. I can completely understand that you'd be
the Bulldogs
to do
by
that.
6 points. A little bit of news we haven't got to, Damien, before we cross over to the West to get the full preview of this game with Dennis and Lockie Reed and the whole crew over there. A little bit of news. Adam Treloar, there was talk that Bucks were saying he's going to be right, but obviously he wasn't right this weekend.
No, he's out. And small talk going around is that there may be a recurrence of the groin problems which beset him in these later stages of his GWS time and required some surgery. Now, the club's not saying that's the case, but he is out, and they could have done with him in this particular game against GWS, which actually has two of the older-aged rookies representing them this week. We know of Sam Reed from the past, but also Daniel Lloyd, who is a mid-20s guy who's done it the hard way, and it's a really good footy story, but it just may also highlight the depth that we thought was unquestionable when it came to the Giants may not quite be there.
The other big story floated around this week. Now, I hate to drop a name, but I was surfing at Wimpy Pop this week, Damien, and who paddled out but a man with some massive feet, Juddy, by the name of Jared Wade, a former teammate of yours. Does all right on a surfboard too. I didn't bring up the fact that he wasn't playing this week. Big boy too, by the way.
Big Jared boy, Wade. And a pretty impressive game after a serious layoff last week, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was. And look, he's obviously going to miss this week. I don't know whether you got much out of him
Mate, we're having a surf. I'm not trying to sort of go one-on-one with him at this point, Dave.
Well, you could have got the story of the week, Howie, because he was done by the match review panel for a sling tackle, as was Kobe Stevens. I thought there was a difference for what it's worth, and other people may have had different views, but I thought Kobe Stevens is on Nathan Wilson, was worthy of the 2-1. Wade got the same, 2-1. But Brad Scott does today, North Melbourne coach, sees it very differently.
We want to be clear that we didn't agree with the decision. We're not happy with it. But the system is that if we challenged, he would have got two. You know, we had two players who received free kicks for dangerous tackles in the game, and those Adelaide players are free to play this week. I mean, the only difference is that our players braced their fall with their arm free. One player got concussed, the others didn't. So it's clearly on, it's an outcome-based MRP at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with Brad Scott. I think he's pretty stiff, Jared Waite, and that I don't like the system where if you go and defend yourself, you get an extra penalty. I don't like the idea of that at all. He's an intriguing player, Jared Waite, for me, Jaddy. When he's on, I think he's almost unplayable. I think the best defenders in the game can't get near him. Mm. Then he always seems to get suspended in opportune time, and then he gets injured.
Reported.
Then he comes back first up and does something like he did last week, which just blows an opposition away. You're alongside him, Jaddy. How do you explain him?
Much like you said, he's just never quite had a really extended, consistent run at it. But he is a serious player. And one thing he does do, he plays well in big games and often in finals. We used to do a thing at Carlton where we'd analyse at the end of the year who'd played well against the top four teams. And a couple of years in a row, I reckon he was the best out of everyone. But yeah, his career really has been marred by those injuries or playing sore or the odd suspension. But no doubt he's got the skill.
Speaking of suspension, I'd like to put you on probation for the amount of names you drop at the moment. It's just every week there's one. I mean, they fall out of your pocket.
Well, that's probably fair enough.
And you did sort of off the record promise a mystery guest that was going to arrive here tonight. Oh. Did anyone get wind of that? How he said, look, yeah, big night at the Judd Cave. Yeah. No, I've got someone that
was it one of his cricketer mates, was it?
It was KP or Ricky
Ponting? No, it was big time. You just on notice. Okay, no, fair enough.
Punter just shut you down, did he, mate?
Didn't get back to me, but anyway. Damien, any other news floating around?
Just on the whole confusion around what's going on in the AFL rules department, Howie. The fact that Kobe Stevens' tackle on Wilson was adjudicated to be worthy of a free kick to Stevens for holding the ball, and yet 48 hours later, another AFL body deems it to be worthy of missing two games of footy, down to one with the early plea. I mean, I don't think there's anything more that needs to be said about the absolute confusion when it comes to what is going on with some aspects of this game of ours at the moment.
Yeah, it's a hard one to read. Now, listen, before we cross to the West, we all arrived today with a bottle of wine, Damien. We were all nervous, Dars, because we knew you couldn't just bring the Jacobs Creek to the Judd Cave.
Yep.
I know you and I were very nervous about it during the week, Damien. I had a discussion with the bloke down there in South Melbourne. But we've all put our bottles on the table at the start of the show. One of your wine connoisseur mates is Judd, who's actually on top of the table.
Yeah, Craig McPhee, and he's well known in the wine world, far better than any of us could ever talk about wine. He feels my St. Henry, Howie, was very good and would take the prize because he thought at that stage Brownie's Grange was an 05.
Right.
now that we know Brownie's bought an 010 or 2010 Grange, he said that unfortunately for us,
who's
although
this
we
clown?
No, he knows what he's doing. No, he's saying it's actually better than the 05.
What, you're in discussions with this man?
And that to drink it tonight would be sacrilege, but I think we need to take the top off it, Darcy.
We'll give it a
and
try,
get it some air.
Just in
we'll
case.
Get it some extra air.
Darcy, I'm just fascinated how this pool thing works.
See, I think the difference is that you don't want to just show off. Anyone could have grabbed a Grange.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's just the obvious. Because you have to have a Grange sitting in your house to grab it.
You go with something that maybe is just a more appropriate drink.
Darcy, you arrived 2 hours ago. You arrived 2 hours ago saying you're going to see your daughter play basketball straight after the show.
I've got some bad news for her.
Sienna, he's not coming.
I'll make it up to you, Sienna.
It's been a big Friday huddle from the Judd Cave. Juddy, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Can we stick around a little bit longer and maybe watch the footy?
Absolutely.
Got a drink.
All right, time now to go to the West. Dennis will take it away.
Thanks, Juddy.
It is the Western Bulldogs taking the West Coast Eagles. McDonald's, Triple M, rocks footy.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.